This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilger.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
And I'll make some pastoral comments, and then we'll move on. Amen. What a great service we've had already. Amen. I want to celebrate the mother of my children, Pastor Bridget. So can y'all do that for one more time, just celebrate her? Amen. Praise the Lord. And all of the other mothers who are here, she's already recognized Mother Johnson, and such a blessing. Amen. And so happy to have her, always happy to have her in service. She was a personal friend of my mother. Amen. And you know, and my life is the better after having heard word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, Romans 10 and 11 says, for whosoever shall, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Everybody say ashamed. All right, now go to Psalms 31. Psalms 31. We're going to be teaching, we're still teaching on the secrets to confident living. And we're talking about confident living beyond shame. We've been in this teaching for quite some time because the Spirit of God spoke to me about the teaching on shame, because many people make shame-based decisions. And many people are living in the shadow of some shame that had happened years ago. And so you need to understand, it's not the will of God for you to be having a shame-based life. All right, verse 1 in Psalms 31. In thee, O Lord, come on, y'all, I get the feedback. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Watch this. Deliver me in thy what? Righteousness. Now, I want you to hold on to that, he says. Deliver me in thy righteousness, not my righteousness, but his, and let me never be ashamed. And so we began teaching on this, talking about how all of us have experienced some shameful and humiliating experience, whether it was because of some abuse, whether it was what I call predatory abuse, somebody took advantage of us, or some personal action or mistake we made, or some a positional association, being associated with somebody who did something that had a bad reflection on us, or whether it was what I like to call privileged advantages. In other words, a lot of people are ashamed of their prosperity. They're ashamed of new things. No, serious. I know some people can hardly believe that, but you know, there are a lot of people. I talk to pastors all the time. You know, they drive old raggedy car to church because really they are ashamed of what they have, and they think that's going to deflect persecution. You can see people when they get something new, and you give them a compliment and say, oh, I like that. And they go, oh, this old thing? Amen, amen. And so the Bible has much to say about shame. Shame has to do with being humiliated. It's a demoralizing emotional pain. And all through the Bible, God talks about being free from shame. And anything Jesus died for must be something that's detrimental to the human experience. And so we find out, the Bible says, he put shame on the cross. So he died for our sins, he died for our suffering, he died for our sickness, and he also died for our shame. All right, so now going through life, it's impossible to not have something, not to have a shameful episode. All right, so we said having this experience of guilt, having this experience of feeling dishonor or defeat or shortcoming, that's common to the human experience. But it should not mutate into being ashamed. Now, when I'm ashamed, that means I've taken on what has happened and I've allowed it to redefine who I am. I began to feel demoralized. I began to feel that I am disqualified. I began to feel, and I carry around humiliation, and I'm prone then to make shame-based decisions. Everybody say shame-based decision. All right, now, so since this is all through the Bible and I'm warned against being ashamed and warned against shame, it must be that shame is going to short circuit the abundant life that God wants me to have. In other words, carrying around this cloud of shame, thinking, making decisions because I don't want to ever experience humiliation again, can cause me to miss God in many times in my life. Amen. And so that's what we've been teaching on. And last week, we began to talk about the temptation. A lot of people, it's that fear of being ashamed that causes them not to make quality decisions. Everybody say, stay with him. All right. So it's that fear. And we know who's the author of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. So who is it? It is the devil trying to play a game on us. He's trying to attack us to keep us from God's best. Now, today's lesson, we're going to focus on this moment where you've got to make a decision to trust God and move forward, trust God and not worry, trust God and make bold steps in your life. Now, I think the whole Mother's Day sets the stage for that because, see, mothers are very, very sensitive. God, the way God has engineered mothers, they are protectors. Yeah. Mothers have been engineered by God to be protectors, and once born again, they become intercessors for their children. All right. And at the same time, because of that, it is easy for mothers to take on shame for what their children do. You got it? But the unrighteous choices our children make, you follow me, is never a reflection on who we are. All right, watch this. God, who is the best father of all. Adam and Eve made bad choices, but it did not redefine who he was. Amen. And so that many parents are carrying around a sense of defeat, a sense of less than or disqualified or hurt or shame, humiliation because of the present state of their children. I wish you had a better amen than that because I know I'm right. I know I got the right mail. No, I prayed this week. I know I got the right mail. Well, I pray every week, but you know I got the right mail on this. And so you're carrying this worry and weight around because the devil is attacking you, having you blame yourself. Amen, amen. And you cannot live a confident life and you cannot experience God's best with this weight that the devil wants to put on you. Yeah. Amen. And so what this lesson is about a divine moment. Everybody say divine moment. Divine. Yeah. It's about a divine moment of choice where you've got to decide how you're going to move forward. Amen. How you're going to move forward. All right. Go with me your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6. Quickly now. Ephesians chapter 6. I got some ground to cover because, as we talked on last week, you have to recognize what spiritual attack is. You are under spiritual attack when the devil is shooting fiery darts into your thinking, trying to discourage, defame, and disqualify you. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let me back up now to verse 11. It says, "But put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil." Now, those of you who may not have brought a Bible, that's all right. I think they try to put all the scriptures on the screen so that you can be able to read along with us. It'd be good if you had a little pen, you write that scripture down, and then you could go read it for yourself later. Now, go over to verse 16. It says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Fiery darts. What's a fiery dart? It's a thought. And that's how the devil attacks you. He doesn't attack you with his pitchfork. He doesn't show up with red suit or horns, but he shows up with negative thoughts. Amen. Amen. That's how he shows up with negative thoughts. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, and that we ought to resist the devil. So we got to know how to resist it so that we will not allow ourselves to begin to make shame-based decisions. Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, because it is important as we move into this lesson. I only have a few points. As we move into this lesson, that our choices are vitally important. Our choices are vitally important. Life is choice driven. We live or die by the choices that we make. Everybody say, we live or die by the choices that we make. Now, in life, you will always be making choices. So this lesson is not only for mothers, but this lesson is for everybody here, because all of us have to make choices. Amen. And if I'm making choices, watch this, thinking about the possibility of humiliation, the possibility, righteous choice, thinking about the possibility of humiliation, the possibility of shame, the possibility it won't work out, I am not going to be bold enough to make that decision. Amen, amen, amen. Now, of course, y'all know today is the day which I celebrate, you know, 55 years of being called into the ministry. I got to understand, I was a 9-year-old kid. Amen. Hallelujah. Any 9-year-old kids in the house? Any 9-year-olds in the house? Stand up, all my 9-year-olds. All my 9-year-old kids, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, my 9-year-olds. Amen. Come on down, all my 9-year-olds, quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on down, quickly, quickly, all my 9-year-olds, my 9-year-olds. Yeah, come on, quickly. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah.
Now that's the age I was when God spoke to me. See, how many I got up here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I need $10 for each one of them. So he said, give me that. He said, wow, oh my God. He had a quickening of the spirit. Okay, what am I going to be able to do? How am I going to be able to do it? I need $10 for each one of them. I know you don't have money. I need $10. How can I do this quickly? I got 17. Just bring you my money. I don't have $10. You're going to figure it out. Well, you know, ain't no problem. I'm going to figure out how she's going to figure out and how I'm going to get it. I need a plan of action quickly. Huh? You gonna get it changed? Okay. Well, I can't be taking out my stash in front of everybody. What's that? Nobody else come up here. Nobody else come up here. Nobody else. Y'all ain't got no driving license and no birth certificate, so I had 2 more kids. Why y'all didn't come up here first? Okay, somebody come here quickly, you know. I got to give my. Okay, quickly, 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 y'all. He got in 20s. Oh, okay. Y'all get 20s? No, I give him 10. Oh. No, I said 10. Huh? Okay. No. What you got?
You gonna get it?
Okay. I need to do something. Give me something to put in these kids' hands. And then they can come. Huh? You gonna take their names? Okay. That's slow, isn't it? Well, I hadn't planned to do this. I believe I'm led of the Spirit of God. And they believe I am too. If I don't have no witness, I know they believe. Give me cards, empty cards. Huh? Okay. Well, y'all just going over there and wait and get y'all money? They say, no problem. No problem. All right. 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 This is the church like no other. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. All right. Now watch this. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, I'm at that age when I hear God talk to me. Got it? And I make a decision to obey God. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, all right, I set before you, are y'all there? Come on, put on the screen quickly. Deuteronomy 30:19. I set before you, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say, choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live. Now, and here's the thing, that life is filled with life choices. Death or life choices. And I've got to understand that I've got to be bold enough to make bold choices in life. And that's what this lesson is about. Isaiah 119 says, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Everybody say the good of the land. All right, now, so making a choice comes in a moment. Lord gave me this phrase, a divine moment. Everybody say divine moment. Now, a divine moment is more than 60 seconds, but it is a point in time when I have this intrusive witness of the Spirit to make a choice. It's a divine moment when I have this intrusive witness to make a choice. It's a point in time where I've got to either choose to trust God, all right, and leave worry behind, or I've got to make a choice to trust God and make a bold step. Amen. And that's what has been said today, because some of you here brought worry in, and it's been plaguing you and it's been bothering you, and God cannot do anything other than what he's done. But place the promise in the word. And now you have to be sensitive enough to understand this moment. Everybody say divine moment. Yeah, you have to be sensitive to understand this divine moment. So my first point would be the multifaceted meaning of a divine moment. The multifaceted meaning of a divine moment. And that's just this moment in time. And they happen, you know, all through life. You'll have this moment where you've been worried about something, and the Spirit of God come to you and say, now you just need to trust me on this. Amen. Now, you've got to either say, yes, Lord. Or you'll go, I just don't know how things going to happen. I just don't know. It's a moment of time. Moment in time. Everybody say a moment in time. Or the Spirit of God can in this divine moment, give you instructions. And you have to have faith enough and boldness enough to take the step. All right? So when God calls me to preach, I'm just kidding it back then. I don't know no better. I'm just going to trust God. I said yes. But then all through life, I've had to make choices to trust God, and I have to respect the moment. Everybody say respect the moment. Yeah, I got to respect the moment. Now, these moments happen as a matter of providence. Everybody say providence. Now, we're talking about a divine moment, a moment where I've got to make a choice, where I feel prompted by the Spirit of God. And it's going to require me either to set aside worry or to take on a new task and obey God based on his word. You got it? So then, it's a matter of providence. Providence has to do with something in the plan of God. Because it was in the plan of God for me to be a preacher. Well, now, they made me wait a year to see if I was serious. Here I am 55 years late. I think I was serious. Providence. Everybody say providence. here. See, Moses at the burning bush was a matter of providence. God arranged it. God orchestrated it. David fighting Goliath was a matter of providence. God arranged it. You know, Gideon's assignment was a providential assignment. God orchestrated it. And so there are some things that were going to happen in your life. It's because God orchestrated it. And he brings a moment in time where there's this witness in your heart to do something. And it's God. All right. It's a providential matter. Divine moments, this moment where you get this intrusive thought, and this intrusive witness from the Lord can be a matter of prayer, a matter brought on by a matter of prayer. In other words, somebody's been praying for you. And as a matter, as a result of their prayer, God has arranged the Spirit of God now to witness to you. All right. It's like in the story when Peter was in jail and the church prayed. And because the church prayed, watch this. Now, an angel is dispatched to that prison. All right. And the doors open, chains fall off. But then the angel says to Peter, follow me. Now, Peter could say, hey, I don't know about getting up out of here. With all these soldiers around here, man, we get out there and I'd be getting killed. But he had the boldness to obey. Nehemiah, because he prayed. Everybody say, because he prayed. Nehemiah, because he prayed, that was this divine moment where he had this witness to go and build the wall. So I'm saying these divine moments where the Spirit of God speaks to you can be a matter of providence or a matter of prayer. Watch this. Or a matter of proclamation. Amen. Now, what do you mean? That is, when the preaching of the word happens, then you hear the Spirit down on the inside of you say something to you. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop worrying about that situation. Take the bold step I've been talking to you about. Faith comes by and hearing by what? Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And so even today, God will use this moment of worship that we're in, this time of ministry of the word that we're in. He will use it as a divine moment to talk to you. Because God wants to talk to his people, amen? And God wants to talk to his people because, watch this, these divine moments are moments of God's pursuit, his divine pursuit of his love. He loves us enough to want to minister to us. Come on, brother, you can come back and sit down. You can come on. I see you standing back there. Amen. Now, watch this. Acts chapter 17. Are you there? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17. All right. Now, look here, because Peter preaches and something happens. Verse 33. Let's start at verse 33. All right? Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed, not Peter, but Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Among the which was Dionysus and the woman named Damarius and others with him. So the point I'm making is when the gospel is preached, some will mock, others will postpone, but then some will believe. Amen. I have any believers in the house? Because today is a moment in time when God will use this to get you free from worry. To get you to decide, God, I'm going to put this in your hands to get you free from worry. Or watch this so you can take the bold step he's been talking to you about. Amen, amen. Now, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it talks about how the things were written for our learning so that we, through the comfort of scripture, we might have hope. And so there's some things. We're going to look at some mothers who modeled divine moments. Mothers in the scripture who handled divine moments right. In other words, they were willing to make the bold decision. There it is in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, the angel comes to her. Because watch this. God can't force you to do anything. No, he doesn't. And I know religion has taught you that. The Lord going to make you. No, he doesn't. If he's going to make you do anything, he'll make you live right. That's why really I have a strong witness, a strong. I mean, wait, this just ain't scripture. When people talk about how the Lord broke them. Lord don't break you. He doesn't break you. No, he doesn't. I remember I was on this platform in this big men's meeting, and this guy got up before me talking about how the Lord break you in. No, he don't break you. I got to rap because I knew what I had to say. Because listen, if the Lord's got to break me for me to obey him, amen, and I don't break, then that means he didn't put enough on me to break me.
Amen.
So my disobedience ain't my fault. It's his fault because
wow,
he didn't break me. Now, the breaking comes when I choose to go against my flesh that don't want to obey God. That's the breaking. The broken spirit is something I do, not something that God causes. Because if it's God causing the breaking and I don't break, it ain't my fault, it's his fault. He should have put more on me. Hallelujah, amen, amen. See, don't let grace teaching make you think your choices are not important. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now watch this. Watch this. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, angel comes to her, offers her an opportunity. It's a divine moment. She says yes. The woman who goes to Jesus, the woman of Canaan, she goes to Jesus because her daughter is vexed with the devil. And it's a challenging moment because the disciples don't want to be bothered with her. Jesus tells her the blessing is not time for her, but she says, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. In this divine moment, she has an encounter with Jesus, but in this divine moment, she's not going to leave until she gets what she came for. Because she has made up her mind that she's going to profit from the moment. Amen. Now, and then, of course, as the woman in the First Kings, chapter 17, when everybody said the cause. When it's not a calamity situation. It's not a calling like Mary, but this is a cause because the prophet now is getting ready to call the nation into repentance. And so she's a part of it because she's to sustain the prophet and feed him and that sort of thing. But by the time he arrives in 1 Kings 17, she don't have anything. And she says first, she says, man of God, I just don't have it. Man of God said, give me the cake. You do what the Lord told you. Lord told you, I'm coming by. You're supposed to sustain me. Give me the cake. She said, no, I don't have the cake. Then he preaches to her. Everybody say, divine moment. This moment, she's got to make a decision. I'm going to trust what God says. I'm talking to somebody in the house. Are you going to trust what God says? What do you mean, God? Just trust what he says in his word. He says he's going to supply your needs. No, it's simple. This ain't a hard lesson. I don't have to go to the Hebrew, Shebrew, and the Greek. He says, I got you. I'm your healer. Okay? I understand what the doctor said, but they don't have the last word. Amen, amen. All right, now watch this. And that is that moment in time when you have to trust. And that's what she did. She decided to trust. My last and final point is me and my divine moments. Everybody say me and my moments. Me and my moment. You and your moment. Because that's how God does. He works with the witness of the Spirit. You can hear all the words you want and that sort of thing, and that's good. But there comes that point in time when the Spirit of God deals with you. Man. And it's not with a lot of bells and whistles, but it's that moment in time when God says, okay, this thing you're worrying about, you're going to give it to me or not? Because as long as you got it, I can't have it. And see, that's a divine moment where you got to, I've been in those times, man. Don't think just because I'm a pastor that I'm exempt. Why the devil attacks me? Tell me what ain't going to happen. And boy, I'm going to teach you what he taught me. You got it? Now, you know, I'm there to, like Bill in Love City. Man, we've had more better times. That's not good English. I'm over here about both my teachers, all right? Oh, come up, another teacher. Okay, that's another teacher. But I'm the bishop. We've had more better times. We've had much better times where we could have entered to the construction project. But God didn't say yes. God didn't give me the green light. Now, when God gives me the green light, it is not naturally a good time in the natural. But I've learned how to trust him. You got it? So I don't magnify, oh, man, why now? No. He already knows what he's going to do. Everybody say he already knows. So I want you to write this down. Yeah. It is a matter of, watch this. I've got to respect divine alignment. In the moment when God, this is the divine moment, I got to trust divine alignment. Now, what it means is that God has set some things in order. He has taken all this time to put things in order. And I got to step in faith, believing other things going to fall in place. Amen. See, you got to believe, especially when it comes to a child that's not doing what you want them to do and that sort of thing, and they won't listen to you, anybody else, and you carrying this word around, Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to trust God. Amen. You're going to put them in God's hand, God's protection. Amen. And believe that God, since you told me to trust you in this, things are going to start falling in place. Everybody say divine alignment. Yeah, divine alignment. When you take a step, you got to believe that God already knows what he's going to do. Everybody say, God already knows what he's going to do. Yeah, I mean, listen, when God told me to teach the word, and nobody believed that people would come and listen at me teach, it was a time of divine alignment. God knew everybody he was going to bring. Amen. All right, so not only divine alignment, but watch this. I must respect that demonic arguments must be expelled. Divine alignments have been established. Things are working together for my good. Everybody say things are working together for my good. God is somewhere preparing a place, preparing a table before me that he will present in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Amen. Say, I got to believe that. Everybody say, got to believe it. Got to believe it. Got to believe it. Yeah. And God already knows what he's going to do. All right. Now, so what the devil comes to keep me worrying, keep me from making a step is he comes, number one, with the reasoning argument. This don't make sense. It don't make sense that you're not going to worry and things going to work out. It doesn't make sense that you should be believing for this. You can't afford that. See, my getting it when I can't afford it, it makes it God, especially when he has spoken it to me. The reputation argument, he comes and says, if you fail, this is going to hurt your reputation. And so many people hesitate for the fear of shame, the fear of failure. You haven't failed. And in the kingdom, failure is never an option. I never fail as long as I'm in the game. Game ain't over till I say so. So there's the reasoning argument. There's the reputation argument. There's the reliability argument. The devil comes with a fiery dart and say, are you sure God's going to come through? Are you sure? Why? He wants you to question God's commitment to you. And so all of these thoughts are going through your mind because, you know, but every thought has to be cast down. I mean, no. Believer, you got to understand this. I go to church all I want to, hear all the good messages, clap all I want to. But when it comes to a spiritual fight, it's me and him. It's that time I got to do what I have been trained to do. I cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I bring my thoughts into captivity. Bring those thoughts into captivity. All right? So there's a reasoning argument, a reputation argument, reliability argument. Watch this. The resource argument. Where are you going to get that money from? Oh, my God. Can I get a witness in here? It's always the insufficiency, watch this, of treasure, of time, of a team. My Lord. And all of that is, watch this, so that the burden of success is shifted from him to you. That's why last week I talked. You weren't here last week get that lesson. John says, I must decrease and he must increase. Now, that's a very powerful dual revelation in there. He was talking about in the life of Jesus or in this transitional period that his reputation and notoriety would decrease and Jesus' reputation would increase. But the illumination of scripture is there, is that when it comes to God honoring his word, it ain't on you. Y'all got that? So I decrease thinking I got to pull it off. I let him increase and I glorify him because my dependence, watch this, it's not on my skill. It's not on my connection. My dependence. Because in those pressure moments, he's just trying to get you to take it. Remember when God told me that we're supposed to open this building at a definite time? Boy, it didn't look like possible. Jesus, no way in the world looked like it was possible. A week out, we had 3 weeks of work left. We'd done enough construction that I understood that. But the Bible says, in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own. Now, that's easy to say, but when you're looking at 3 weeks' work, and you ain't got but a week's time. That's when you have to have the discipline. Everybody say discipline. You have to have the discipline. Watch this now. To let him increase. And I put it on him. God, this your building. Now God, I got a house. If you can't complete your house, shame on you. Okay, so some of y'all can't handle that. It ain't no shame on me. I didn't tell me to do all this. You told me to do all of this, so I'm not carrying any burden. I'm not carrying any burden. I started inviting more guests because the devil started telling me to call it off, and he came through. All right, the last point on this, and we're about ready to wrap up, is the righteousness argument. Oh, y'all got to get this. All right, let's see if we can remember the arguments. The devil comes, the fiery darts. First is reasoning, then reputation, reliability, the resource, and then righteousness. Now, remember that first scripture I read to you, the second scripture, about deliver me by thy righteousness? Right. Now, here's what the devil comes to you in your fight. He wants you to disqualify yourself based on the stuff you know you did that was wrong. Oh, you know, this. You know all the stuff you've done wrong. He's got the Rolodex. And he comes to say, it's not going to happen because you did this and you did that. You disqualified yourself with your sin. So you back away because you disqualified yourself. All he did was trick you into believing that the grace was not sufficient. Oh, I thought I'd have another amen like that. Watch. That my mistake did not cancel God's goodness for me. It did not cancel his mercy. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve, Jesus. Mercy is when God looks at all my mess, looks at all of my mess ups, and say, you ask for forgiveness. I have wiped the slate clean, and I'm just going to bless you anyhow. That ought to be a place to shout right there. That ought to be a place to shout. And so what it calls for, everybody said, me and my moment. It calls for me to have this discipline action that I must embrace. I'm going to let you go after this. Here it is. That when I got to obey God, acceptance from God must be a priority. God alone. See, a lot of folks can't understand how you're going to have peace and your child in jail. Now, what you mean you got peace? Child, my boy was in jail, I wouldn't be able to sleep. Well, you're not sleeping, they're going to get him out. God neither slumbers nor sleep. Ain't no sense in both of y'all standing up on that. All right. Scripture says he'll suffer me never to be brought to shame. So I got to believe that. And me having his acceptance is far better. It has to be the alone priority. So I make a step and I'm going to do something, then his acceptance. That's all I need is his acceptance. Amen. So I cannot be intimidated with faith. Number two is that I must take bold action without full understanding. Oh, obeying God. I got to make bold action without full understanding. Oh, Jesus. How are you going to pull it off? I hope you know, because I don't. God gives us information on a need-to-know basis. I'm going to need to know what I need to know. But that's why I'm so happy, boy, Brother Larry came back to work with me, because Larry know how I roll. He know how I roll. I'm believing it in every day. You follow me? We already made of ourselves no reputation. God already know what he's going to do. We believe he's got every contractor lined up for it. You follow me? Watch this. So we take bold actions. Because I'm going to have what I need when I need it. Amen. So I can shout and be happy because I don't need it right now, but when I need it. Look, person, I said, when I need it, I'm going to have it. Yeah. So you can go look for that new house. I ain't got no down payment. When you need it, go ahead. Number three, I must address every contrary thought to the word. In other words, I got to cast it down. How to cast it down? I got to appropriate the grace to obey under pressure. Now, what I mean by appropriating grace, I appropriate it with my mouth. That's why I teach on confession so much, is because that's how you cast down imaginations. That's how you cast down thoughts with your mouth. You take thoughts by saying it. So I take God's thought by saying what God says. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things I need will be added unto me. Now, that's better than me getting with him talking about how bad it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I tell you, this economy is so bad you can't get nothing built. And everything just going haywire here, there, and everywhere. You know, everybody losing their house. No, they're not.
That's right.
Everybody. And folks just getting laid off one after the other, laying them off like flies. Bible says, shall not come not me. No, I'm not sure. How to walk in victory in this thing is more than just shouting in church and coming to the altar crying. We can come to the altar and cry, you know, and all you're going to do is, after you cried, wipe the tears, but you got to know how to get victory. And I get victory with my mouth. When I don't let shame keep me from making a bold decision. I close with the prodigal son. You know, he's there in the hog pen. And you know, today, you know, we made the appeals. People raised their hands. Some people didn't raise their hand because, you know, I want folk not to know that I'm not sure. I don't want this. Now, all the devil will do is keep you in that same box. But you got to make a bold decision, understanding that when I make a bold decision concerning God, get born again, get filled with the Spirit, you know, changing the course of my life, I can expect God to show up. So the prodigal son's in the hog pen. He has been inundated with shame. He left home thinking it's going to be success. He's a failure. Spent all he had. All the friends he thought he had left him. Everybody say shame.
Shame.
He's in the hog pen. Well, first he joined himself to a friend when he to a person that he thought was going to help him, and he put him in the hog pen. Everybody say shame.
Shame.
Real shame, because a Jew never wanted to be around hogs anyway. Not only he around hogs, but he feeling like a hog and smelling like a hog and even wanted to eat what the hogs ate. But he had a divine moment. He came to himself. In this moment, now watch this, he could have talked himself out of repenting and going back to the Father. Because, watch this, if his Father rejected him, it would have compounded the humiliation. Like, he didn't know. He came to his father said, uh-huh, you're back now, huh? Look at you with your nasty looking self. He had to trust the love of his father. I'm going somewhere with this. And no matter where you are, you got to trust the love of your father. So he gets up and he says, I'm going home. And The Bible says his father was looking a long way off. In other words, his father was concerned about him. Every day expecting him to come out. I'm telling you, God is concerned about you. And when he saw him, he ran to him. Watch this. When you decide to repent, he accelerates your restoration. Well, I wish I had somebody could understand it. And when he gets there, he's getting ready to say, Daddy, you know I messed up. And Daddy, Dad already knew that. I said, listen, you can hush that down. Because he's trying to say, I really don't deserve to be a son. I just want to be a servant. And he says, no, you're still a son. So watch this. Yeah, I know you don't smell that good. But I got a smell on me. I'm going to put on you. So he hugged him. Your clothes all tattered and torn. So watch this. On our way back to the house, I don't want folk to see you looking like this. Would y'all bring a robe and put it on him? What is he doing? He's covering his shame. Jesus. How many folk in here glad God has covered your shame? I love my shame. Hey, put new shoes on his feet. I want you to put a ring on his hand because that ring lets everybody know he's still special. But what if he hadn't made the decision? He could have died in the hog pen. If he hadn't made a decision, and I'm talking to somebody today, if you don't make a decision to trust God, the devil will shorten your life. You can worry yourself to death. But you don't have to. Because there's a loving God that if you will roll your care on him, watch this, immediately you will experience a refreshing. Can I get a witness in this house? Taking a bold step forward. Immediately you'll watch God open doors that no man can shut. God doesn't force anything on us as I close today. He offers us opportunities and awaits our response. He tells Abram, who's a moon worshiper, I'll make you the father of nations. And Abram said, yes. He comes to Moses at the burning bush. He's a fugitive hiding from the government of Egypt. And he tells him, I'll make you an emancipator. And Moses says, amen, amen. He comes to Gideon, who's a coward, hiding in a cave and threshing wheat because he's afraid of his enemies, the Midianite. And he offers him the opportunity to become a general and a major of the army. And Gideon says, amen, amen, amen. He comes to a woman who's down to her very last. And the prophet tells her, if you'll obey God, you'll eat throughout the whole famine. And the woman says, comes to a woman at the well who comes at a horrible time because folk in the community don't like her. Offers her an opportunity to become an evangelist. And she says, comes to her disciples. And these men were common men, fishermen. Offers them an opportunity to change the world. And the disciples say, one day years ago, he comes to a little boy, Jesus. Marbles in my pocket, slingshot in my hand, offers me an opportunity to become a preacher. And I said, amen, amen. And today it's a divine moment for you. He offers you an opportunity to roll your care on him and to walk out of here free, believing that God's got your best interest. The question is, what are you going to say? Give the Lord a shout.